The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Good morning all, this is Ryan Tubridy with you this Wednesday morning. It's the 22nd of January 2020, we're here till 10. Text number this morning is 51551, so get busy if there's anything on your mind, and you can email ryan at rte.ie. Weirdly, step in and step out again weather this morning, so the winter coat went back on the hook and it's just into a casual jacket now. And then tomorrow it'll be the winter coat again, then it'll be the casual jacket, and up until around the middle of April, at which point we can start thinking about different clothes. But for now, you never know what's going to show up. But the lottery, the weather lottery, the meteorological lottery today says it's nice and mild. So if you're heading out, it's okay. Get out there, embrace the day and have some fun getting there. Now, what have we got for you today? Loads of different bits and pieces in the papers. I was struck watching the news last night, apart from obviously the updates on the election, which I find continuously intriguing, was this piece that I liked was about the museum, the National Museum of Ireland, one of my favourite institutions in the country. They have such great respect for history and they tell the story well. Museums can go right and they can go wrong. And this museum has got it right. The wrong museum will suck all the life out of learning, will suck all the life out of being interested, and actually could potentially ruin history for children because they go, nah, dusty, boring, footy. But they've launched this refurbished and reimagined Irish Wars, 1919 to 1923 at the National Museum of Ireland. And it just looks amazing. And I thought, I was watching it going, right, that's definitely on the agenda this weekend, because it's one of those things. It's free. We, the people, own it. And in you go and look at different things. 50, just looking at the release here on it, 50 newly displayed artefacts, including an IRA intelligence file, which being digitized and will be accessible for the first time. Also, this thing, the hair of women that were cut off, pieces of their hair shorn from a woman in a bobbin found in the possession of Michael Barry when he was arrested in 1920. So much like, I suppose, women who kind of stepped out with Nazis in World War II in different countries around the place. Women who were considered to have done something beyond the pale on whatever side it might have been, taken out, hair cut off and shorn. That's what the lady was saying on the news last night, that the shearing of women's hair, very humiliating, very personal and vindictive, and just a small aspect of the difficulty that we're going to have in commemorating these years. And as I was saying recently, that RIC fiasco of an attempt to try and say, you know, there's pain on both sides, including the black and tans, God help them, to say that obviously with great cynicism and sarcasm. But on this, the Civil War is a totally different scenario in terms of when you say, as they kept saying last night on the news, on both sides. We're going to hear that a lot. On both sides. There was pain on both sides. There was violence perpetrated by both sides. And that's, I think that's probably only right. But this is the museum that's getting it right, is what I'm saying, in a way that they just simply made a bags of it not too long ago on the RIC thing. But this is getting it right. Artifacts from the reserve collection include the death masks of Arthur Griffith, Michael Collins, Carl Brewer, Terence McSweeney, and things that haven't been seen for years and years. I saw a sock that Dev was wearing on a prison release, the handcuffs worn by Sean Hogan when he was rescued by the Tipperary Brigade in 1919, experimental weapons, items used in escapes from Lincoln, Mountjoy and Kilmainham prisons. Fascinating things and pieces to look at that kids will get a great kick out of. Anyway, that is what I'm talking about, that exhibition, 1919 to 1923, the National Museum of Ireland in Dublin. But of course, there is the National Museum of Ireland Country Life in Castlebar, and you have the Natural History Museum and the archaeology all there for your delectation and viewing. So well done to everyone involved in that. I see Maurice Manning was involved in the committee to oversee these things, and Brenda Malone doing a job there, and one other name comes to mind as I saw it there, Catherine Heaney, all doing excellent work. So thank you to them. And onwards in the evangelical approach to making history accessible and interesting to all comers. Now, our old friend CT, Colin Wilkinson, has been enlisted and is to help out with the IYMT, the Irish Youth Musical Theatre. It's a new company. There's a new company aiming to support and train young Irish actors, which is to bring musical theatre masterclasses with West End and Broadway stars to cities like Cork and Dublin. Musical theatre is one of the great lifelines in Irish society around the country, in towns and villages and cities. People involved in musical theatre are always gregarious for the most part. It's fun. It gets you out of the house, and it gets you into the world of music. You'll never be bored if you're into the musical world, so that's great. And Colm launched the Irish Youth Musical Theatre in recent days, and they've got people like Rachel Tucker, who was in Wicked, and David Shannon, who was in Matilda, and Killian Donnelly, who's just a superstar, is well known for his late work with Les Mis and Kinky Boots, all doing great things there. So good luck to them. I thought it was a nice thing to be doing. Ireland's favourite takeaway has been revealed. I'm a divil for a takeaway, unlike Richard Carrigan. I like them. And I see that this best takeaway in Ireland is a place called Saba to Go in Rathmines. I haven't heard of it. I've never been to it, but I believe it is top notch. Camille. I like Camille. Camille Thai, yeah, that's near me. I've got that a few times. That's the best takeaway in Munster, in their Limerick. Ireland's favourite takeaway dish is Spice Bag. Sorry to say, tried it, hated it, absolutely didn't like it at all. No, did nothing for me. Sweet and sour chicken balls, fried rice, the only answer. Don't give me Spice Bag. No, you can't. Best breakfast takeaway-wise is McDonald's and Swords in County Dublin. I couldn't handle that now. And they say the best burger is Friars Rest in Letterkenny in Donegal. I would say Bunsen does a damn good one. Best chipper, Macari 101. Well, CC near me is good. Macari's, anyone called Macari is good. Anyone called Borza is good. Basically, all the Italians are brilliant. Their chippers are fab. Well, anything else there? Base Woodfire Pizza. They do great pizza. Yeah, I love them. We have them quite a bit here on a Friday sometimes. And then Camille getting lots of wins there. So there you are. There's your takeaway. Onwards to that. And on the other things we shouldn't be eating and drinking, but we quite like, Coca-Cola will not ditch single-use plastic bottles because consumers still want them. That's what the firm's head of sustainability has said. Customers like Coca-Cola plastic bottles because they reseal and are lightweight. I think it's my least favourite container out of which to drink a Coke. The glass bottle, one, and a small can, cold, two. So combine a packet, I've done this before, but it's true. Combine a packet of chips from Italian chipper, loads of salt, loads of vinegar, brown bag in the car, you're not allowed to have it. Cheeky can of Coke on the side, still sweating with the cold from the fridge. You're starving. You don't even want a burger with it because it's too messy, but you want those. And then you just open that bag. Little puff of heaven in your face. And then the Coke. And I'm like, that's a banquet, lads. That's a banquet. Got lost there. What was I talking about? Bottles. Oh, yeah, Coke. Coke has pledged to use at least 50% recycled material in its packaging by 2030. It's also partnering with NGOs around the world to help improve collection. Did you watch Greta and Donald at Davos last night? It's amazing that you have the 70-plus-year-old president of America, whether you like him or not, doesn't matter. And you have this 16-year-old, you know, dynamo. I mean, they're absolutely... what a strange dynamic in the same room. And both strangely nearly feeling as powerful as each other in terms of message. And in that room, in that place, at that moment. It's knockout to watch. And then you've got the impeachment trial, which has become playing like pop cultural / political cultural wallpaper in my house all night last night. And that's just, although I do feel a sense of futility about it, because it'll go to a vote. The Senate is all Republican majority, and they'll vote it down. And you wonder what's the point of it all, other than to make a point, if that makes sense. Now, Chris Martin loses his because now I always thought Chris Martin was sort of peace and love and sort of barefoot and white trousers. Do you know what I mean? He has that sort of bang off him. I've never met him, but I just think it's all very gloopy. you know, and that he would himself and Gwyneth would have made a good match, and it's all, you know, that sort of vibe. And his music is that sort of thing, isn't it? I don't sense any anger in the man. I don't sense any edge, actually. I just sense Coldplay. And that's great, and they're amazing and all. I believe their concerts are stunning. That's not the point. According to the papers, Chris Martin was asked for his autograph. Fans were asking for an autograph, which is actually weird in itself. No one asks for an autograph now. Just want selfies. But he was asked for an autograph following a Coldplay charity concert. This is the whole point. In LA. So LA, clean, allegedly. A charity concert. Nice. And someone says, can I have your autograph? Now, I haven't heard this because I've only read this. But apparently he's not happy being asked. So we have a quick listen and see what how he responded.
Concept of me as a human being. Don't f***ing shout at me. Like, you know, it's so aggressive. But either ask nicely or just be polite. Like, treat humans with decency, you know what I mean? These are all got me, mate. I always sign at least one each. Now let's f***ing
Chris. They blocked the car, down, so we couldn't see. They
put
couldn't
the camera
see.
Down. Show some respect.
I understand.
Put the camera down.
Family had a shit, which I did have. You know what I'm saying?
I'm sorry about that. Honestly.
All right.
Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah. No worries.
Sorry about that.
I appreciate it, Chris.
Hey, Chris. We're all human.
He was having a bad day. We're all human, man. Yeah. Heck off. Yeah. Oh, poor old Chris Martin, yeah. We all have bad days, that's the truth of it. Airbnb are offering the ultimate Shakespeare fans the dream Airbnb apartment to stay on Valentine's Day / night. Where is it? It's Casa di Giulietta. It's her actual Juliet's house. It's inspired generations with its iconic balcony that reflects Shakespeare's description in Romeo and Juliet. And now one winner and their partner will be given unprecedented access to the 13th century building to step back in time and relive the powerful words of Shakespeare. So that's one way to impress them all. Little Britain looks like it's coming back after 12 years in the wild. And there are fears it may fall foul of woke viewers. I don't think they get past the opening credits. When you think of Little Britain, I'm a lady. I mean, even saying that, I'm sure there'll be 10 people on Twitter not getting it and giving out and cancelling it. But amazing. Well, good luck with that, lads. Episode 1, 2 seconds long. Episode 2, cancelled. Little Britain. How are they going to do that? Actually, William says in this piece that he admitted it was adamant that they didn't mock minorities, that in comedy for me is celebrating things. Characters include wheelchair user Andy, Dudley and Ting Tong, Bubbles and Desiree, Emily and Florence, and David, the only gay in the village. I may fall foul of today's PC, please. Crikey. Can't imagine any of that necessarily working, but we'll see how it goes. I'll get to those gorgeous letters a little later in the programme. I think that's probably fair to say. I went to see, since I saw you last, Uncut Gems, the Adam Sandler film, because everyone was saying it's amazing. It is good. Here's my thing, and I was thinking about this long time. I've never met Adam Sandler. And I feel quite mean because I don't like anything he's in. Any film he's in, I'm gone. I can't look at them. And I don't know why. I'm sure he's really nice. He's probably a good dad and a nice man. And I feel mean being so put off by him. At the mere look at him. And then people probably feel the same way about me. And I get that. If you're a public figure, some people just go, oh, you drive me nuts. And I totally understand that. And unfortunately, Adam Sandler is one such person for me. However, then this thing comes on, and I think it's to do with the visuals because his face is transformed. He's got this permatan. He's got new teeth in it for the part, and he wears these little glasses, and he's a diamond dealer. And the whole film is about him constantly chasing the next deal and trying to fight off what happened with the last deal. That's essentially the movie. If I was watching it on TV, I probably would have gone into the kitchen after 20 minutes. I don't think I would have stayed with it, but in the cinema, you stay, and thankfully I stay like a dog, stay focus. Thankfully, I couldn't put on my phone and mess. That's good. So God bless the cinema. Anyway, as it turns out, I'm glad I stayed because it was a fine film. Again, not the best film I've seen this year, but well worth going to see. And he's brilliant in it. In fairness, and I just thought to myself, okay, so when he looks different, that's really good. And secondly, he got a script that actually suits him for me better than any of his comedies. I just don't find him funny, and now he's acting seriously, and he's really good in it. So Uncut Gems is the name of the film. It comes with a guarded recommendation rather than the full whack, like the two popes or Jojo Rabbit comes with full whack recommendation, all different. Right then, Ryan, you're in trouble now with all the dietitians in the country after that sinful admission. What did I admit? That I like chips and stuff? I've been eating chips since I was one. Well, probably three. Love chips. And no, I'm just fortunate. You know, I'd like to thank my parents for that metabolism. Little Britain is coming back. Have you not heard of Jacob Rees-Mogg? Yeah, who needs, you know, we're going to be talking to Armando Iannucci tomorrow. He brought the world the thick of it in Veep. And I remember talking to him before, saying, how can you write satire and comedy with Boris Johnson in Downing Street and Donald Trump in Pennsylvania Avenue? What do you do? Check out Mark Kermode's view of Hidden Gems online. You sound like you have a similar attitude towards him. Oh, I will. He's one of the great film reviewers of our time. Thank you to Hugh, who says the National Museum is literally a national treasure. Well, it is. Kildare Street is fascinating. Collins Barracks is a treasure trove. You could spend hours there. As you say, it strikes the right note. Check out the Eileen Gray exhibit. Incredibly, the NMI and NGI are free. This is a key point. Free. Bring your kids. And Declan Cork says the best chips to eat are at a League of Ireland match on a Friday night with my 9-year-old son. Taste and quality, not exceptional, but the experience is unmatched. Very good point. I remember once bringing my youngest friend, well, sorry, my oldest when she was young, to see the GP for whatever reason. And across the road, there was a chipper. I think it was called Bernardo's or something like that. And I said, will we go in, even though you're meant to be going back to school? Come on, we'll just don't mind that for a minute. We'll go in here. Sometimes you can miss a class or two for a memory that is going to beat any class in school. Remember every single chip from that bag. Right then, music at 9:20. JB says, regarding Adam Sandler has struck a chord. I can't bear to look at Owen Wilson in anything. You see, I don't have a problem with Owen Wilson. God, that's horrible. He's a bit one note, but do you remember that's on behind that film Behind Enemy Lines, where it's quite a serious film. It's like America, it's Bosnia, and he's a fighter pilot. It's most unusual, but I don't have a problem with Owen Wilson. I actually quite like him. And I like his quirky nose. I kind of like. There was a film that not everyone liked, and it's Woody Allen. There's a bit of a smell off him now, but the movie. What's it called? Midnight, the one where he meets all the writers in Paris. Midnight in Paris. That's a great film. And Owen Wilson plays the Woody Allen character, if you know what I mean. That's well worth seeing if you haven't seen it. That song is my life. Except I take the bus. Hashtag Kinks. Yeah, I just love the Kinks. When Sandler dials down his angry shouting shtick, he's very good. Mr. Deeds with Winona Ryder. Well, there's only one, Mr. Deeds. If one of my New Year's resolutions, says Ronan, inspired by you, is to read more. Good. As a 20-something, I don't know where to start with fiction. Any suggestions, particularly crime or adventure? Picked up The Hungry Road in Dubray yesterday. Thanks. Yeah, that's a great read. And the key to you is do not pick up a big, long book, because that'll put you off. Pick up something short. Pick something with a nice print on it. I know that sounds strange, but you need a nice... There are a few things quite as irritating as tiny little print in a book. So go with something like Lucy Foley's, you know, the Hunting Party. Nice, easy crime book for you. That's what I'm going to... That's your homework. So come back to me, Ronan, and enjoy that. Adam Sandler's good in the movie called Click, apparently. It's worth a look. Okay, I'm definitely not going to go into Adam Sandler's back catalogue. At all. There are too many good films that I haven't seen. But thank you for the suggestion. And Morris says his film Rain Over Me is fabulous and totally not a typical Adam Sandler film. Thank you. He made one called Billy Madison, apparently, says a text, then repeats that. Made 300 million. I don't find him funny at all. Coca-Cola used glass bottles 40 years ago and paid people a couple of cents to return the bottle. The old system worked better for everyone, even non-Coca-Cola customers. I'm with you on Adam Sandler, says Neve, but his vocal fry, as you call it, that annoys me. Can't listen to him, though I did enjoy the film The Wedding Singer, but probably because it's so 80s. I think that's probably the one time I could handle him, but unfortunately after that, until Uncut Gems. And one last one before we take a break and do something else entirely. The look on my kid's face this morning when you were talking about chips and Coke, the utter longing and mouth-watering stare was just hilarious. A great weakening of the senses on a Wednesday morning. We may be getting Macari's later. Yeah, well, sorry about that. It's kind of Operation Transformation in reverse. But look, as we always say about these things, was a lesson I learned at home from my own folks. Moderation. You know, you don't have to eat 15 bags of chips. Just have one. One every so often. Nothing wrong with that. Okay, there's so much to talk about, but I do need to take a break. Now, I was telling you in recent times I've been making my way through a couple of bags of Post, and a lot of it dating back to October and November, whatever. So, but I'm trying to write maybe about 10 or 20 letters a day back to people, say thanks and how are you and whatever. A lot of them are schools, a lot of them are people recommending books, or some of people just saying hello, and some Christmas cards and things like that. But every now and again, I'll take a picture of one and post it on Instagram to say, look at this, this is a lovely letter I got. And one I came across from Elodie O'Reilly, I wanted to share with you today because she asked me to. And it's just a gorgeous letter. And the children are so inventive, and some of the teachers get the kids to all write, you know, maybe 20 letters in and practice the handwriting and put the you know, the address in the top right-hand corner. It's a bit of a dying art, but it's one that you don't see as much. But anyway, a beautiful letter came in from Elodie O'Reilly. And it said, my name is Elodie O'Reilly. I wrote to you last year giving you yellow submarine beetle socks to wear on the toy show, which I wore, incidentally. And she said, I hope they were comfy. They were, and felt good on the night. Anyway, it was a great show, like always. But this year I've got an idea. Now, she wrote this in advance of the toy show, but like so much post and books and stuff come in and things get lost in translation. And that's why I'm coming to it now. And I know it's, what are we on, January, but this is going to be an idea for next year. But I'm sharing it with you anyway. This year I've got an idea. The idea is that on this year's Friday of the Toy Show, me and my mum invented this plan called Tinsel Toy Show Friday. What would happen on Tinsel Toy Show Friday is that every primary school, starting with mine, Belgrove Senior Girls School, wears something Christmassy into school and brings in €1 per pupil. It'd be like a Christmas fashion show at school. So I'm in fourth class this year, and I've told my teacher, Mrs. Daly, and my school principal, Mrs. McCarthy, about the idea, and they love it. And we're going to do it in my school and raise over €400. And we will donate it to a local charity in need. However, if every primary school in Ireland did the same, we're thinking forward now. If every primary school, says Elodie, did the same, I worked it out. It would add up, she says, to €538,219. Right to the last euro. All raised for charity. I checked the numbers on the Department of Education website. You're good. And then in red pen with important and arrows pointing down, to spread the word, I need your help. This is where I come in. Please read this letter out on your radio show to let other schools in Ireland know. And they might do the same and raise money too. I'm looking forward to the toy show. And last year, my mum and me guessed the theme was going to be The Greatest Showman, which it was. But this year, we haven't got a clue. And now you know it was, of course, Frozen. But lots of love from your old friend, Elodie. Well, thanks, Elodie. I dropped you a letter in the post this morning. But thank you. And she came up with these lovely facts and idea. Tinsel Toy Show Friday. Dress up as Christmassy as you can on the Toy Show Friday for €1 per pupil. Every euro will go to our local Christmas St. Vincent de Paul appeal. So that's what we might try and encourage from the Toy Show 2020 on Toy Show Friday, is schools around the country wear something Christmassy, bring in €1, put all the €1 together, and before you know it, the Vincent de Paul are smiling again and saying, great, and the children all get to know how charity works and how generosity works, and I think a euro isn't too much from their pocket money, if they get such a thing anymore. So that's great. Thank you, Elodie. That's tremendous. I've more to talk about. I'll come back to you in a minute.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
Text 51551. Santos, now she's delivered on this goal. She's incredible, and she knows what can be achieved with hard work, dedication and self-belief. She will be unstoppable. She's an inspiration, says that text. On Adam Sandler, he's in an offbeat film on Netflix called The Meyerowitz Stories. Worth a look. He's also very good in Spanglish, says Rachel. Brad Pitt, can't abide him, right? Says Anita. Any thoughts? No, I am not really. No, I don't necessarily. I don't have a very strong opinion, except that I thought he was really excellent in the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood film, the Tarantino. That was great. So that's a yes for me in that regard. Jerry in Galway says, for me, Jim Carrey makes me reach for the remote control. Or Jim Carrey, sorry. Immediate channel change, other than The Man in the Moon. That is. Yeah, I saw that film as well, of course. And Yeah, Jim Carrey, I don't have any problem with him necessarily. Maeve says, my New Year's resolution is to use old Irish proverbs with my children to try to keep the proverbs alive. I'm using one a month. So this month can be used about Chris Martin being cranky. Every man is sociable until a cow invades his field. Send that to him. Post that to him and he'll understand about the cow. The Huffington Post, how not to be rude at a funeral. Some indications for us, because etiquette and protocol are beginning to die along with civilized society, as we all know. So I noticed there are a few pieces on etiquette and how to be polite, because we probably need to be taught now more than ever before. Things you should not do at a funeral. One, arrive late. If the funeral is starting at 10 a.m., don't show up at 10 a.m. Show up at 9:45 so you can get into the venue and be seated before the family walks down the aisle. Point one. Two, don't be on your phone. It may seem obvious, but still, some people forget to silence their phones and put them away during these occasions. And they've also, you can see people actively texting during funerals. It is beyond rude. Here. Here's another one. Don't take pictures without permission. Do people take pictures at funerals? I think they start to, that thing's become a thing. Christ almighty. It's in the worst taste to take a picture, we're told. And don't do that. And for goodness sake, no selfies with the body. We've got emails about that as well. This from somebody who's an expert in this field. So just so you know, more advice. Don't dress like you're going out. Wearing black and grey isn't required, but it's not the time to break out your zebra skirt or bright green pants. So get it right. Don't bring your coffee. That's a good one. Don't bring your coffee. Finish your coffee before you enter the funeral service. If you stop at a coffee shop, you get your coffee. Don't bring it in with you to the funeral. You can make it through a service without injecting caffeine in your body. You can chug it ahead of time or have it after. But don't bring your to-go cup. Don't be a distraction. Don't chew gum. Make distracting noises. Just try and follow everyone else. When people stand, stand. If people kneel, you don't necessarily have to kneel, but be respectful of the people who are praying that particular way. Well said. Here's another one. Don't say they're in a better place. How about that? There are ways to express your sympathy and your high regard for someone without being insensitive. He's in a better place now. It can sound comforting when you're saying it, but for someone in the grieving process, that can sound like someone saying, it's better that they're gone. So try and think of something else. Be careful with your words, because people are in an emotional state, different phases of grieving, and of course you shouldn't let your concerns about saying the wrong thing keep you from saying anything at all. If you tend to be more introverted or shy, remind yourself that it's okay to say to somebody, I'm sorry for your loss, I cared about that person, or I've been thinking about them and all of you. So that's quite a nice thing to say. Don't make it about you. Oh yes, I think we probably all know one of those. It's good to keep your condolences simple to avoid taking attention away from the deceased and their loved ones. Don't make it about yourself. Even if you've lost somebody, don't say, I know how you feel. When I lost my grandmother, I felt this way or that way. It sounds strange, because usually in the world of etiquette, we're trying to be more empathetic. But grief is a very singular experience, and people don't like to be told that you understand exactly where they're coming from. Well said. Don't post on social media. Good luck with that. I think that genie's left the bottle. But there's an urge these days to post information and reflections about significant events like deaths and funerals on social media. It's not necessarily the right thing to do. I couldn't agree more. Don't network at a funeral. There's one, and one last one is, and this is quite a good one to end on, don't make empty promises. So if you tell a mourner that you'll be in touch to make plans, be sure to follow through. You can also offer to help with meals or childcare or paperwork or anything else that needs to be done in the aftermath of the loss. So there you are. I think they're all valid points to be made, that are made, and we can learn from them, one and all. 51551 is the text number at 13 minutes to 10 this Wednesday morning. Among the guests and things we're going to be doing on Friday night this week, we will be hearing the new tune from one of my favourite guests, because he's just, as I always say, a good egg from Mullingar, Mr. Niall Horan. And later on in the year, towards closer to March, we'll do something more significant with him. But on Friday, we're going to hear this. Yeah, brilliant. That is a terrific song. That's Niall Horan, and Nice to Meet You. And he'll be featuring on The Late Late Show on Friday night. I went to visit Crumlin Hospital on Monday, because we're going to be featuring a big piece on Crumlin Hospital on Friday night on The Late Late Show. I won't get into the detail of it now, but it's a place that, for those of you who've been there, for those of you who work there or worked there, It is a place that is full of all human life, sadness, happiness, trepidation, tears of joy, tears, all class of human emotions from left to right and top to bottom. And we went in just to record a little piece of just walking around and meeting people there on Monday. And you always leave in a very reflective state, and you're always very impressed by the people you meet, the parents of the children, the children themselves, and the incredible staff. And we'll feature that as kind of like a microcosm of the extraordinary work that's done in this country by nurses, cleaners, doctors, security guards, all the staff of a hospital receptionist, everyone who makes the whole chain work. It's incredible. And they're all in the hospital all around the country, but it'll be Crumlin representing all of those hospitals, in a manner of speaking, on Friday night. And I think it'll be quite special. Just time for a tiny clip from the IT crowd.
I never know what to say to people at funerals.
No, neither do I. I'm terrible.
Oh, just say I'm sorry for your loss, then move on. You'll be in our prayers.
Thank you.
Sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
Move on.
That's where we're going to leave it for today. Be sure to stay tuned for Sean O'Rourke. Have a great day. Thank you for listening. See you on the other side, in a manner of speaking.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.